We do appreciate you being here. It's nice that the theaters happen. It's just they're doing two different Christmas shows. Did you notice that? If you saw the sign out there, they're doing like overlapping Christmas shows, Christmas Carol, Christmas Story. There's all sorts of Christmassy things about, which is nice. So we don't have to decorate. It's been done for us. So that's always appreciated. But we're here. We are in the Christmas season, and I'm so glad that you are spending some of your time with us on this Sunday morning. Every year, once a year, our family, we take a trip down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's where my grandparents live. We've been doing that for a long time. My grandparents moved down there when my grandpa retired when I was like 10 or 11. And so for just about every year of my life since then, we've been traveling down as a family, and now I take my family down. And so it's a road trip. We don't fly down. We take the van down. We drive down to Myrtle Beach. And anybody do big road trips here? Road trip families? Okay, yeah. Anybody like road trips? That's another question, isn't it? Okay, like road trips? Yeah, there's certain things about road trips that I like. You know, you get to like set your playlist and you get your music and you get your podcast and you get like what you want to listen to on the way down. You get your snacks, right? You get your Twizzlers. I feel like Twizzlers are like a staple for a road trip. Am I right about that? You got to get your Twizzlers. Okay, somebody agrees with me. We do the road trip overnight so the kids can sleep because they're all little, so they don't bother me, so they can just sleep. So I get to like have all the snacks to myself. I got some coffee, got some tunes, and we take the trip down. And so road trips are fun. Sure, they're fun, but they're also, they can be a bit daunting, right? When you think about how many miles you have to go and how many hours it takes to get there. And so I do a little thing. I know a lot of people do this when you're taking a big trip. You kind of have these mile markers, right? These little places where it's like, okay, we've made it this far. Whoo, we've made it this far. Whoo. And so what we do is as we enter into a new state, we stop. We celebrate a little bit. Okay, we made it. All right, we're in the new... Well, not at Delaware. We don't stop at Delaware. Okay. Delaware's a small wonder, but, well, we have stopped there once before for a potty break. I'm like, we've been in the car 15 minutes. All right, anyway. But when we get to Maryland, that's that. We made it into a new state. Let's stop. We've made some progress. Stretch your legs. Use the facilities. Do what you got to do. Grab a snack, and then we'll get back in the car and keep on going. And we make that journey, and then you get to Virginia. It's like, okay, we made it to Virginia. Get out of the car. Stretch your legs. Do what you got to do. Take a deep breath. Jump back in, and then Virginia's long, and you're in the car forever. You don't feel like you're going to make it, and you keep driving, and everybody's asleep, and they're snoring. It's like, oh, let's just make it to North Carolina. You make it to North Carolina, and you celebrate that. And that's, why am I explaining this? You know how road trips work, right? And so we take these little mile markers, you've got a break, you enter into that new state, you stop, you pause, but then you got to keep on going. You can't just stay at the rest stop, right? We've all seen that guy at the rest stop that just is asleep in the car, they didn't plan it out, they're too tired, they couldn't make it. You know that guy? I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want my kids to wake up in the morning, are we there yet? Well, no, we're in Virginia, but you know. Close enough, right, guys? We're at the rest stop in Virginia. We're at the Welcome Center here, and so it's not Myrtle Beach. We didn't make it that far, but this is good enough, isn't it? We'll have our vacation here. They got vending machines. They got bathrooms. It's great. Go nuts. Have fun. We'll go back home next week. We can't do that. You can't just stop until you've reached your destination. It's a long journey. It's an epic journey, but you've got to keep ongoing. Yes, it's great to have those pauses, but then you get back in the car and you keep on journeying. Many years ago, I'm thinking about 10 years ago or so, I first heard that term journey associated with the Christian faith, right? That your walk with Jesus or your following of Jesus or you're trying to live out Christianity, it's a journey. And I love that term. How it describes our faith, those of us who are trying to be Christians, trying to follow Jesus, how it describes this process, it's ongoing, and I really appreciate the term because it helps dispel one of the misconceptions about Christianity. And so many people, when it comes to Christianity, they think it's like, oh, it's about salvation, and you say some prayer, and you get yourself saved, and that's the end of it. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning of a journey with Jesus. And that journey with Jesus can feel an awful lot like a big old road trip. A long trip that you're taking together, right? Is that what Carrie Underwood was singing about? Jesus, take the wheel? Jesus, take the wheel. I need a few hours rest. We got to just do this thing. I don't know that. I think as a Christian, I'm supposed to know the lyrics to that song. I don't know. Anyway, but you're on this journey together with Jesus. You're on this epic road trip together. And there are certain times where you've just gone through a big experience with Jesus in your faith. You know, those of you who have been following Jesus for a while, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You just go through something and you got to stop and take a pause. And just think about where you've come from and what Jesus has brought you through and what that's been like. You know, for some of you, if you've gone through a thing where you or a loved one is sick and you get that diagnosis and you're praying hard, it's one of those seasons of intense prayer and intense work, and like there's no more frivolous stuff in your life. Have you had seasons like that? Where the frivolous stuff is gone and you're just focused on something important. Or maybe you've been out of work for a while and that's that season of intense prayer of, God, what am I going to do next and how am I going to pay the bills? And you're just asking for that opportunity. Give me an interview. Give me a foot in the door, and you're praying over that. And then you get that job or that situation's resolved. And you take that pause. You come through that intense season with Jesus. You make it through the other end. Or maybe it's something relational. You've got something going on with a loved one and there's tension in your relationship or for whatever reason, and you're just praying about it because it's tough and it's an all-consuming issue and it's just you and Jesus working through this, and then you make it through, some kind of resolution happens. You take that pause. But here's the thing in our journey with Jesus. We need those pauses. We need them. But then we got to get back in the car and keep journeying with Jesus. This is an issue for so many of us who make this attempt to follow Jesus, so many of us who make this attempt to journey with Jesus. We get in the car, we start our journey, and we just go through some kind of intense time, and then we stop, you know? We make it to Virginia, and we stop. We get out of the car and say, I can't do it anymore. I'm stopping. You go through some intense season of life, some intense prayer season, or some big issue, and you just get to a place where you just kind of, I'm good here. I'm good here. Maybe Jesus wants more for me. Maybe he wants me to follow him in a new way. Maybe he wants me to discover him in a new way. But I'm just, this is good enough, you know? I haven't quite made it to Myrtle Beach, but this is good enough. This rest stop is good enough. It's pretty good here. Let's just stop here. And that's something I feel like maybe I'm speaking to one or two or more of you here today, where maybe that's the season of life that you're in right now. You've journeyed with Jesus. And you've reached some awesome epiphanies when it comes to Christianity, and you feel like you understand God in a really awesome way. And when you look back on your life, it's like once upon a time you were confused, once you were blind, but now you see and you get God in some kind of new way. But sometimes we can just stall out there and rest too long without taking that next step with Jesus. Let me tell you something about the journey with Jesus, not to overwhelm you, but it doesn't end in this life. You take your moments of pause, you celebrate where you've been, you celebrate the progress, you thank Jesus for bringing you where you are, and you jump back in the car, and you keep journeying together to that next rest place, and the next rest place, and the next rest place, and then you die, right? And then you get to be with your Savior in heaven. That's how this thing works. I don't want to overwhelm you. Let's just think of it one state at a time, right? One chunk at a time. But we need to keep moving on in our journey with Jesus. You know, the same thing that's true for us as individuals, those of us who are Christians, those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, the same thing that's true for us as individuals is true for us as a collective. You know, we as a church, as a group of Christians, as a group of Christ followers, as a group of disciples, whatever you want to call us, we go through these things together collectively, and we go through some pretty intense seasons collectively, and then we reach these places where it's like God gives us a break, gives us a rest, and that's awesome. Gives us that little pause, and we should take full advantage when God gives that to you as an individual, when God gives that to us as a church. Let's take advantage of those pauses. Let's stop and think about how far we've come together as a group, and how much we've grown together as a group, and what Jesus has done for us as a group. Let's enjoy that and celebrate that. But then we got to get back in the, maybe it's a van or a bus, right? It's got to fit all of us. We get back in the bus, and we keep journeying together as a church. You know, there are these times where, you know, during those first two songs, and I know I'm supposed to be singing, but sometimes I just look out at the group and I just think, God, this is awesome. Thank you. Because I remember the early days when we were in that hotel ballroom before we moved to the theater, and I would be standing up and talking to like six people, half of whom were related to me, right? I remember those days where we didn't have a band, but we had a CD player and a dude and a microphone, and I think, God, thank you for that. Thank you that there's been signs of transformation in this church, but more importantly, signs of transformation in this community. And so you take that pause, you appreciate where you've been, you appreciate where you are now, and you jump back in the bus. Let's keep going. You know, you have this passage of scripture that's in your bulletin, and it's a reading from the the book of Acts. And the book of Acts tells us, among other things, it tells us the story of how this thing that we call church launched, how it officially launched. You know, when you look at what Jesus said to his disciples about church, it's not very much. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to start this thing called church or assembly or whatever you want to call it, but we often use the word church. He's going to start this thing, and there's so many different ways to understand or to think about what Jesus meant when he talked about church, but for those of us here at Hope, we believe that church is a movement. Church is not an organization. Church is not about religion or religiosity. Church is a movement. Church is the movement of Jesus Christ in this world, and that big church, just to kind of lay out some Christian terminology for you. Sometimes as Christians talk about church with a capital C, that's the big movement. And then we have the church with the lowercase c, that's like this church, your local branch, your local chapter. And so all of us local churches, we're supposed to be part of the big church. And it's a movement. It's the movement of Jesus Christ in this world. And so Jesus spoke very little about this thing that he was going to launch during his lifetime, before the crucifixion, before the ascension. He spoke to his disciples about this. But then, in the book of Acts, we see it. We see what happens. And so you look at, before the church starts, you look at the journey of Jesus and his disciples. I mean, these guys, and it wasn't just the disciples, they picked up some other followers along the way, and some friends and family members, and they followed Jesus for about 3 to 3.5 years. And that was an intense time. Where are we going today, Jesus? All right, you'll find out when we get there. And Jesus does what he does, and he teaches the people, and he challenges the people, and he encourages the people, and he instructs the people about God. And the disciples, every day was a new adventure, was a new challenge. They didn't know what was going to happen. What's going to happen when we go into this town, Jesus? Are they going to like what you have to say, or are they going to try to stone you again and throw you off a cliff? What's going to happen today, Jesus, for 3.5 years? And then you talk about an intense, difficult is not the right word. It's too small of a word. But this season that they go through, they have to go through this thing together where they watch their Lord arrested and handed over and crucified, and he dies, and they're like, what do we do now? What happened? They didn't understand the resurrection, and who can blame them? They didn't understand, though Jesus attempted to explain it. He tried to say, I'll be back, but maybe they just thought he was being figurative or whatever it was. But then he comes back. I mean, the emotional roller coaster, the spiritual roller coaster, the intensity of that time. And then he's back, and you see him, and you could reach out and touch him. You could see the holes in his hands. What is going on? They spent some time with Jesus, and he talks to them about what's next. Here's what's next. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, which is always dangerous when it comes to Jesus, so you can read it for yourself in the Gospels, but he tells them what's next is the church, basically, was what it comes down to. You got to go into the world, right? Don't just hang out and be happy that I'm back. Go into the world and teach all people everywhere everything that I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and know that wherever you go, I'm with you. My paraphrase. And so Jesus tells them that. But first, he says, wait. Go back to the city and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, this the Holy Spirit, just to give you a quick understanding, for those of you who have heard that term, if you're newer to Christianity, like, what is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is the God that dwells within us and among us. Okay, perhaps that's an oversimplification, but that's how I would explain it to my kids. That's the oversimplification. Holy Spirit is God. It's the God that lives within us and among us. And so Jesus tells them, go back to the city. He's told them, you got to go and share this news everywhere. But first, go back and wait. Go back and wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they do just that. And they wait. And it's almost 2 months that they wait there. What was that time period like for the disciples? I mean, maybe it was an anxious time. What are we going to do next? Maybe it was a really wonderful time. Where they could just pause and think about, what have we been through together? I really don't know. We don't know. It's not recorded. I mean, there was probably a combination of both, a little bit of anxiety of what's going to happen next. Are we going to get in trouble? Are we going to be arrested? And like wanting to do the next thing. But maybe they had those times to just sit back and talk about, wow, can you believe this is how this all turned out? I mean, when we started following this guy, we didn't know it was going to work out like this. And now this church thing is going to happen, and we've got this task to do, and they just had that little rest stop. And they waited for the Holy Spirit. And then this holiday rolls around, this thing called Pentecost, this harvest celebration in Jerusalem. It had been filled with people from Passover. Now Jerusalem was filled again with people. They were traveling there to celebrate this other holiday, Pentecost, thank you. Slipped out of my mind that fast. They were there to celebrate Pentecost. And while they're there, the Holy Spirit shows up. And he fills the disciples in a new way. I mean, they already had the Spirit with them, but some kind of new outpouring of the Spirit that's kind of mysterious, but it's also wonderful. And these disciples were able to speak in the languages of all the people who were gathered. And all the people who were gathered here heard the wind and heard these people speaking, like, what is going on? And they all were able to hear what we call the gospel message in their own language. And it wasn't just the words of some dudes, all right? What is this fisherman talking about? It wasn't just the words. It was the power of the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts. And all of a sudden, these people, these Jewish people, who many of them, you know, less than 2 months prior to this point, had been shouting to crucify Jesus, all of a sudden they realized, oh my gosh, they were pierced to the hearts. The Holy Spirit convicted them and revealed to them that Jesus really was and is the Son of the living God. And they understood now. And so on that day, thousands of people were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thousands of people believed in this message that was difficult to believe, that this Jesus came back from the dead. He was the Savior. He is the Savior. They believed and they were crucified. And what you have is the launch of the very first church. And many of the people who were there, lived in Jerusalem or thereabouts, they became the first church, the church in Jerusalem. And some others who heard that message, they went back to their homes and began to tell other people what they heard from the disciples. But you've got the first local church in Jerusalem. Wow! Thousands of people connecting with this message. It's finally happened. And so there we have, that's a little bit of background to bring us up to what's in your bulletin, the passage that's in your bulletin from Acts 6:4. And so you had all these things that were going right, all these amazing experiences, and these people were gathering together and listening to the teaching of the disciples. And it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained. They complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay, so here's what's going on. You got this thing and this movement called church, and part of this movement is it's about being an authentic community and taking care of each other, and they were supposed to be taking care of each other. Jesus talked about this kind of thing where the world was going to look in at the church and say, hey, I want in on that. And so we've got to take care of each other, and so we know that's part of the deal. And so something wasn't happening, and somebody complained. Some people complained to the disciples and saying, hey, what's up? You know, we've got widows over here, and they're being neglected. Are you guys cool with that or what? And so they had to deal with, this was quite possibly the first complaint their church leader had to deal with. And there have been a few more since then, right? The first complaint that they had to deal with. How do we respond to this complaint? And they needed to figure that out. Like, what do we do? Do we go back and say, listen, isn't this good enough? I mean, some old ladies aren't getting fed, and that's a shame, but like, let's just, that issue will sort itself out. I mean, think about how far we've come. We've baptized all these people. We've taught y'all. Can't we just stop here? Isn't this good enough? You want more from us? Well, you want us to make sure that your widows are being fed too? Come on, you're asking too. Okay, it's not perfect, right? It's not the ideal church that Jesus talked about. I know that, but isn't this good enough? But they don't respond that way. So we better get together and figure this out. So they have a little meeting, they go back, and basically what they say, well, let me read it for you. You've heard it already. I'm picking up with, it's just verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Oh, you're too big to wait on tables, are you? You're too important. Oh, you've got ministry of the word of God. Now, some people read this passage and that's the kind of vibe they get from it, but that's not what's going on at all. Let's continue reading. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so what the disciples were saying is, listen, we've heard your complaint. We're not going to get defensive about it, okay? We're not going to ignore your complaint. We've talked about it, and the reality is we can't do everything, right? And if we were busy feeding the widows, that would take so much of our time, and we wouldn't be able to do the other stuff. Now, at this point in time, it's important to note that there was no New Testament. They were living the New Testament. None of the Gospels had been written yet. They couldn't just say, listen, okay, fine, we'll take care of the food distribution and just read the Bible, okay? Because we can't do both. They were the Bible, all right? They were the New Testament. They were the ones who held on to the teachings of Jesus. That was it. It's all they had. And they made this very practical, real decision. If we take our time to do that, we'll be neglecting what we're supposed to be doing. And if we don't do that, nobody else can. Now, you've run into the same kind of thing maybe in the workplace or maybe in your home where there's something that needs to be done. Or maybe for those of you who, you know, in the workplace, if you manage a team and somebody brings you a complaint or brings you an issue, you're like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I can't take care of that, but somebody needs to, and I'm going to make sure it does get taken care of, right? Or even around the house where there's things you have to fix, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, okay, this needs to be fixed. I'm not going to ignore the problem, but I'm not the one to fix it. So I'm going to find somebody else to take care of it, right? I'm over-explaining this, yeah? You understand this, right? Sure, we all get that kind of thing. It's important. I'm not going to ignore it. I can't do it. Let's find somebody else who can. Let's get that in place. And so that's the decision that they make. Okay, we're not going to settle for good enough. If something's wrong here, if there is an area of ministry that is being neglected, let's take care of it. Let's not stop. Because Jesus gave them this job of taking care of all these people and spreading this word to other nations, and you've got to make sure the appropriate word gets out about what this church thing is, right? Can you imagine? The gossip mill. Hey, did you hear about this church thing? Yeah, they're letting their widows starve to death. Anybody want in on that? No. They had to watch out and do this right and strive for the ideal of what church is supposed to be, right? Here we are. How many years later? Hope Community Church is here. And I feel like, and basically, listen, as a local church, this is our history. It started there, and it's continued up to this point in time, and it's in our culture, and this is our history. We're a part of this. The message has made it all the way to us. And so here we are as a church, 5.5 years old or thereabouts, and I feel like we are in one of these seasons of kind of pause, a little bit of a season of pause, where we can appreciate how far we've come. You know, those early weeks, months, years, there was no rest. There was no, we got this, good enough. No. You want to stay alive? You want to keep growing? You got to keep working. It was a very intense season of time. And I'm so thankful for this season of pause and reflection. And isn't it great to see how far we've come? It's great to cross over to the border of North Carolina and say, okay, we're doing pretty well, right? Yeah? Okay. But there's a danger here. And I feel like our church is at a bit of a crossroads where we could slowly become a little bit complacent. We could slowly ease into this attitude of, well, it's not the vision we had for this church. It's not the vision we believe God had for what we're supposed to be, but isn't this good enough? I mean, you got some people showing up on a Sunday morning, gathering together and singing songs and listening to somebody talk at them. Isn't that good enough? I mean, it's not the vision that we have, but isn't this good enough? No. No, it's not good enough. Yes, let's celebrate where we've come. Let's celebrate our history, but this is not good enough. Here's the vision. For those of you who are newer to Hope Community Church, and for those of you who have been around for a while, this is a reminder. Here is our specific mission. We want to make sure. Here's what we're here for, right? It's not to make people good or make people religious. It's not about that. Here's what we need to do in our community. We're very specifically targeting Innerboro and Ridley. That's our geography. And our mission is to make sure everybody in our geography has had repeated opportunities to experience the gospel in word and in deed. That's the mission. That's our vision. Now, when we've done that, okay, then we've done that. Then we move on to the next thing, right? But that's the vision. That's the mission that we're here to do. Now, I've been accused of, you're thinking too small. You're supposed to share this with the entire world. And it's not about thinking small. We're just trying to think specific, right? Because all of us, we can fall into that trap of making things too general. Like, oh, we want to share this message of everyone. Well, sometimes individuals get lost in that just general cloud of everyone. No, we want to get specific. And so we've got this specific goal, this specific mission that we are here to carry out. And as far as we can discern, that's what God wants us to do. And so we're going to keep at that. And we can't stay at those rest stops for too long. We can't say, God, isn't this good enough? Because it's not good enough yet. We've got a goal. We've got a destination. Let's keep journeying. Let's not grow complacent. Guys, this happens to churches all the time. Small churches, big churches, mega churches, whatever. They just get to a place where like, this is good enough, isn't it? It happens. Maybe it happened at the last church you were a part of. Some of you, Hope is your first church, and that's awesome. That's why we're here. Some of you have another church experience. But some churches just say, well, okay, it's good enough. We kind of got a group of people together. Well, let's just do the stuff that we like to do, and that's good enough. It's not what God wants, but it's good enough. We can't be that. We can't be that church. Over the past several months, really since June, since this summer, I've been coming up with a list and just going through this time of prayer, and I've been asking for input from some of our members, from some of our leaders, and trying to sort through what we need to do next. What are the things that we need to do as a church that will help us, that will not just help, that will allow us to fulfill this mission of sharing the gospel with everyone in our geography? So I've come up with a list. It's a long list. It's a very long list, okay? And so you have this long list of, here are these things, these ministry initiatives, these things that we need to do. I mean, we've got some pieces in place. We got this Sunday morning worship service, whatever you want to call it, this Sunday morning event. We've got that in place, and we've got some small groups, and we've got some service opportunities, and all these are great, and we've got some children's ministry, and that's awesome. But there's certain things that we just haven't done yet, and we need to do, and we can't be okay to just say, well, we'll just leave that slide. No, we can't be okay with that. So I got a big, long list. And so the next challenge after that is say, okay, of this big, long list, what's next? What are those areas of ministry that need to be taken care of next? So when we look specifically to 2018, what are the things that, like, we can't go on neglecting these things any longer. We need to address these certain things in 2018. What are those things? Working with our board of directors, and if you want to know who they are, the list of names is on the back. In discussion and prayer, we've come up with basically three areas of ministry. And I'll be upfront with you. I mean, this is a lot of me leading, but I'm just trying to get input from our leaders and other people. But there are three areas of ministry where we feel we need to focus on in 2018. These are pieces of strategy that will help us fulfill our mission. One of those areas is men's ministry. Men's ministry. And that's not to say that other ministries aren't important. Well, men's ministry is more important than women's ministry or children's ministry. No, we're not saying that at all. But when we look at what's weak and needs to be strengthened, that's one area. Several years ago, our worship leader, Sean Higgins, and I went to a men's retreat. We started to talk through what's men's ministry going to look like at Hope. And we said, all right, the first piece is let's try to have some kind of like easy access connection point for men to come in, like a low maintenance kind of thing where you don't have to read a book in advance. You just show up and do the thing. And so that's what started the men's monthly breakfast and Bible study. Very easy to slide on in. You don't have to have read anything in advance. Low commitment, no commitment, just slide on in. And we said, okay, after that, then we need to build some more specific series for guys. Maybe do a weeknight thing, do a six-week thing, do an eight-week thing. Have more opportunities, you know, kind of like the women's ministry is doing, right? You do these series of 8 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. And so that was years ago. And so we got that first piece in place, and we don't have the next piece. And so we're going to start the next piece in 2018. And so it might be as soon as January that we have our first men's small group. Not just that men's breakfast and Bible study, but a men's small group starting maybe as early as January. And we've got a new relationship we're developing with a men's ministry called Priority One. And my pastor is now part of that ministry. And so he's already volunteered to help us shape up that. But that's something we're going to do. Because we believe when we look at what's going on in our geography, men are being overlooked. How many churches are filled with women, and the women are active, and the women are doing all that stuff, and that's wonderful, but the men need to be active, and the men need to be ministered to. And so that's one of our areas of focus. The other thing is missions. You know, we've had this relationship with another church for many years that has allowed us to do big things. I mean, we've been to Kenya 5 times. This little church in Ridley Park, we've sent people to Kenya 5 years in a row. That's kind of crazy, but the only reason we were able to do that is because we have this relationship with this other church, and now we're at a season where we need to figure out, as we have our own identity now, what does missions look like for us? As we have a sense of identity and a sense of urgency and a sense of vision and mission, what is global missions or domestic missions, what does that look like for us? And so we're working and trying to shore up some people to be our missions committee, and we'd love to bring some leadership into the church to help us oversee missions. And then the other area where we need to focus some attention, a lot of attention in 2018, is the area of youth ministry. We got to take care of our 6th through 12th graders. I mean, come on. We have to. We've got to do this. Let me confess something to you. When we first started Hope, somebody's talking about youth ministry. I'm like, what do we need youth ministry for? We'll just have the teenagers show up. They can listen to me talk at them, and that's all they need, right? No. I mean, we all need more than me talking at you. Let's be honest, right? That's why we have small groups. That's why I have other opportunities to connect with Bible studies. We need more than that. We need to do more for our youth. Look at this small number of people in this church. We're a little church. We've got 16 families with youth. We've got to do more. Think about this. If you've got a teenager in your house, you know how difficult those years are. Think back to when you were a teenager. What was that like? Yeah. Some of y'all didn't make it out, or almost didn't make it out of those teenage years, right? They thought about shutting down the whole teenage thing when I went through. Like, well, let's not do this anymore. And the teenager thing was a bad idea. Let's just skip right ahead to adulthood. No, it's a very tough. This is the temptations and the insecurities and the wrestling and the temptations and the peer pressure. And so many teens go through this season of life and somewhere along the way lose Jesus. No, we are not content to see that happen. And so one of the things we, by the way, let me say this. We've had at least two youth and family Bible studies take place here, and I am deeply grateful for those of you who have made that happen for a couple of reasons, just because you saw the need and you met it. Thank you. But also because you've helped set the tone for what youth ministry is going to look like at Hope. You know, one of the things that, like, I used to work in youth ministry, I worked in children's ministry, I've worked in these age-specific ministries, and one of the things that kind of concerns me about those age-specific ministries is sometimes parents feel like they can be hands-off, they can outsource the spiritual development of their children or their youth to somebody else. Send them to a children's pastor or a youth pastor. That's not how it works. I mean, those of us who are parents, we carry that burden, that primary responsibility of making sure our children develop spiritually and grow in the faith, but we need help, don't we, as parents? And that's where your church needs to support you and support your teenagers. And so what we want to see happen, and this is big, what we want to see happen in 2018, this summer, is we'd like to bring on another staff member. Are you ready for that? We'd like to bring on another staff member, someone who is gifted in both missions and youth ministry. Someone who can help us define what missions and youth ministry are going to look like for Hope Community Church. Someone who can help us reach families that have youth in this community. That's what we'd like to do. Now, it's too soon for me to say any names. But those of you who have been a part of Hope Community Church, I'll just leave it at that. It's too soon for me to say any names, but we've got somebody in mind, right? One of my goals, one of my prayer requests for God when we first started out as a church is I never wanted to post a wanted ad, right? Hey, we need a musical. I just wanted God to bring the people. And so we've got a guy who's connected with us in the past, and he would be the ideal candidate because we need someone gifted in those two areas to take on an associate pastor position and help us shape these important ministries in the life of our church. Can I tell you right now how big of a challenge that is? I mean, we've been talking for months about how can we make this happen? This little church, and we've encountered certain dilemmas. I mean, I've encountered certain dilemmas along the way. One of the big dilemmas that I faced with adding a new staff member is like, is this the right time? I mean, is this the right priority? And we don't even have a building yet. Should we make that the priority? But I've been convinced time and time again, we can't make the facility the priority. We've got a place for now. We can't make the facility the priority. My belief is that when we're ready, God will give us a bigger space. When we've got all the pieces in place, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, God will just give it to us. How many times have I said that to our board? Time and time again. Let's do our part and let God do the heavy lifting when it comes to the facility. Let's focus on the people. And what are we going to do? Start saving for a building that we don't know what we're going to have or where we're going to buy or what's going to happen? Save for some unknown thing? Meanwhile, we've got 16 families in our own church struggling to raise teenagers? No. We've got to find a way to meet this need. I sent an email out to our parents of youth this week, and I said, yes, this is going to be a challenge, but we're going to gladly face this challenge, bringing on a new staff member, if it means better ministering to you and to the youth in our community. These three things that I've mentioned, men's ministry, missions, youth ministry, to shore up these things, these are strategic pieces that will help us fulfill our mission here in this community. And so we'll tackle these three pieces in 2018, and then there's going to be more, right? We'll tackle these three pieces, take a little pause, stretch our legs, hop back in the bus with Jesus, and keep on going. Because we're not going to stop until we've fulfilled our mission, right? Maybe I'll die somewhere along the way, and you'll just keep going, right? We'll just keep going until we've reached everybody in our geography with the gospel. We can't force anybody to say yes to Jesus. That's not what we're about. No. It's just our responsibility to present that gospel message. And so as we go forward, you just need to know this, guys. Those of you who have been with us for a while, those of you who are new to Hope Community Church, we're never going to feel established. Doesn't matter how many years go by. Man, we're 15 years old. Aren't we established yet? I don't even know what that means. We're going to keep growing and keep doing what we need to do to reach every man, woman, and child in our geography. Let me pray over that. Father God, we believe that this vision has come from you, this mission that you've put in our hearts to do our part right here in our community, to live out the gospel message, to share your gospel both in word and in deed, to somehow incarnate the truth of who you are in our own community. And Father God, we want to do just that. And we have faced, Lord, you know, we have faced so many challenges together so far, so many. And we know there are so many more ahead of us. But we can look back now and say, you've been faithful all the way. You've been faithful all along this journey, and we believe you will continue to be faithful as we take that next step in this journey together. Father God, we pray over 2018, and I just want to pray over this Christmas season as we are transitioning out of this place of rest. Help us to have that praiseful spirit, to have a spirit that's thankful for all you've done, and gear us up, excite us for what's next in 2018. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.